Welcome to Women, Life, and Science with Cecilia Zapata-Harms. Over the next hour, you will hear Cecilia and her guests discuss, share, and inspire you with the stories of life, careers, challenges, successes, stories about their own lives. Now, here is Cecilia.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back, listeners, to Women, Life, and Science here on Voice America Empowerment Channel. This is Cecilia Zapata-Harms, your host. And I cannot believe it. It is November. And I hope you're all finding our program interesting and will continue to listen. So I haven't quite started on holiday shopping yet. I usually wait until after Halloween. So it's almost time. I may wait another week or so. But I did order my Christmas cards and they're sitting here at my desk, literally just being, just waiting to be addressed and put postage stamps on. Anyway, so about our show today, I won't go into too much detail because we have a lot of conversation. The show is titled Boots to Ball Gowns. Our conversation is going to be exactly that. We will hear from a fascinating story from a young woman with whom I have had the pleasure to meet and get to know a little more while in this past few months. And her name is Brittany Burtz. She is currently an Army reservist. Is that correct, Brittany?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And an HR manager for a local hospital in South Carolina, was a pageant contestant, and recently started a community called Boots to Ball Gowns as part of her beauty consultant work, plus more. She is absolutely fascinating to sort of hear her story. Like other women on the show, Brittany is focused on empowering women, and she has a lot of stories to tell. Anyway, hi, Brittany. Welcome to Women, Life, and Science. I'm
hey.
So excited. So excited to have you here. I remember meeting for lunch and mentioning the radio show to you and thought immediately that I needed to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you. Thank you. It's crazy to just kind of imagine how we speak things out into existence and, you know, to take like a concept and bring it to fruition. I'm just so excited for you and for this journey and to be like a small part in it for you. So super, super excited.
You know, it's so, I don't know if you heard the first episode, but I said, well, one day, you know, I was like driving to work and I was thinking, oh, wouldn't that be nice to have a podcast or a radio program specifically on women and about life and then science, because, you know, that's been my background.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I get a call from one of the executive producers and we played phone tags for a little bit and finally we connected and then I said, oh yeah, sure. Why not? let's do a show and let's see where it goes. And here we are.
And here we are.
Here we are. Okay. So, I always like to start by asking our guests to, tell our listeners about yourself. Tell us your story. And you can start from the time that were a baby, but not that you'd remember that when you were a baby. But yeah, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, awesome. Well, I was born and raised here in the Carolinas. So I'm a Carolina girl through and through. Grew up here in a small town where football and Friday nights were kind of the highlight of our week. But growing up, you know, no one in my immediate family had higher than a high school diploma. So I definitely knew early on that I wanted to break that cycle. I just really didn't have a lot of direction on how to achieve that. So I attempted 1 year of college locally in my hometown, which kind of turned out to just be a very expensive life lesson. And realized that I needed a little more discipline and direction in my life to achieve the things that I wanted for myself. And that's kind of how I found myself sitting in a Army recruiter's office and enlisting in the military. So that was in 2009. Fast forward to life now. Of course, I have a beautiful, almost 5-year-old son 10 years of the Army under my belt. And I broke that cycle not only by, you know, completing high school in the top percent of my class, but by obtaining and completing my HR degree. And I also serve in a lot of capacities with local veteran organizations in South Carolina.
So wow. That's fascinating. Well, you know, thank you for your service, my friend. There's kudos to you, and my heart obviously is very close to the military. I'm a Navy brat. My dad was in the Navy, retired, you know, when I was in junior high, I guess, equivalent to junior high. And then my husband is retired Air Force. And so, you know, military, I know all about the military life. My husband actually went to Purdue and then went to Embry-Riddle to get his aeronautical engineering degree because he's just always loved, you know, airplanes. I can't even get him out of airplanes altogether. He's he worked for Boeing after getting out of the military after 26 years. And moving out here to South Carolina, he says, I'm going to retire from Boeing because we're relocating. And I said, great, but you're too young to really fully retire. So let's just call it that it's your gap year.
Yes.
It's just your gap year.
Break.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you're still, I would call active, even though it's, you know, it's a reservist role. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other deciding factors for you that kind of brought you to the military? What was the thing that actually, besides the fact that, you know, you needed some discipline in your life, which, hey, you know, that's what the military does, right? It teaches you discipline and lets you look at things in different aspect. But what was the thing that even attracted you to go in that direction?
You know, I tell people that in 2009, I needed the Army more than the Army needed me. But when I re-enlisted in 2021, it was a different story. 2009, Brittany, was a very lost version of myself. Again, my home life was kind of unhealthy and toxic, which was affecting my ability to form and create relationships with people on my own. And I was lacking a lot of that self-discipline and maturity. So I knew I needed someone or something in my life to get me on track because I had these goals and I had these things that I wanted to achieve in life. But looking around, that wasn't going to come from the people in my life that I could touch, you know, the immediate people in my biological family. So
that must have been hard. I mean, for a young woman, that was hard. I mean, thank goodness that there's a resource or a structure, right, that was available.
So, you know, I went and enlisted in the military and, you know, some people may find that to be a bit extreme, but it was and still is one of the best decisions I ever made in my life, regardless of how like abrupt and impromptu and, you know, kind of undecided that was like what I was going to go into. A lot of people who enlist kind of know a long time before they actually do it, that's what they're going to do, whether it's to continue a legacy or to follow someone's footsteps. Mine was not that at all. But again, still is one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
There must have been some challenges along the way while you were, you know, when you first enlisted, because you had to learn certain things. I mean, one, you mentioned being disciplined. Was that the hardest part of just starting out in the military in that way?
You know, yes and no. Yes, because obviously it's difficult. Military discipline is much different than your home discipline. You've literally got people screaming in your face, yelling in your, you know, yelling, dictating every single move that you make from sun up to sun down, and, you know, even while you're sleeping, every aspect of what you do is decided for you. So that's hard to kind of mentally adjust to when kind of chaos is what you're used to living in, you know, no structure, no discipline. And so adjusting to that one extreme to the other was kind of difficult. Responding to authority was a struggle as well, because your initial gut reaction is to just kind of be defiant when you have someone that you don't know kind of telling you to do all the things.
Well, I still am defiant to this day.
I'm defiant, but much more respectful when I do it.
Yes.
But I will tell you, it wasn't difficult because I yearned for it. Just like a child, you know, children act out because they're testing you. They're testing their limits. And I had a lot of that even beyond childhood into my teenage childhood and, you know, young adulthood. I didn't really have limitations and I had to learn a lot of things the hard way. So having those boundaries set for me was actually really therapeutic. So I didn't struggle with it as much as some would think. But of course it wasn't just like a walk in the park.
But was there an adjustment that, so you get from no structure to the extreme side of a lot of structure, and then somewhere in there, you have to probably find the balance. I mean, did you find that balance in some way?
I did. You know, when you see that it wasn't targeted, discipline, you know, obviously I'm in a bay of 45 to 75 other young women who, you know, are getting the same treatment and the same training that I am. It was easier to kind of adjust to that when you're not just a party of one. You know, we really were comrades and battle buddies and sisters. So when one thing was hard for someone, you had 10 or 20 other girls to kind of help you along and mold you and help you understand why we do it this way or why we can't take offense to this, that, or the other, you know? So I wasn't doing it by myself. I think if I was alone in that type of environment, I probably wouldn't have adjusted as well, but being surrounded by so many other women, it was much easier to kind of form a community within ourselves and support each other as we navigated that experience.
I was just going to say that you built your own community within.
Yeah.
And your support resources within, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was probably something that naturally happened for all of you while you were in it at the core of it, right?
I was an only child, only grandchild. So another perk that a lot of people maybe don't look at going into the military and getting out of is a family. And so while I obviously had birth parents and, you know, biological family, it really wasn't kind of what I knew was my long term. As we talk more, you'll understand my adoption story, but I just knew there was more for me, and I knew there was healthy, structured, loving, caring family for me. And I found that in the military.
Yeah. Well, let's go there. Let's go to that adoption story, because I found that fascinating when we were talking a little bit about it. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you know it's possible, but it is. Adult adoption is a thing. A lot of times people correlate that with adults who can't, you know, obviously mentally or physically take care of themselves and they need caretakers, but you can adopt legally an adult who is fully, you know, aware and capable. There's just some paperwork like a regular adoption. I actually estranged from my biological mother, kind of in that time of 2010, right when I came back from the military, due to just that desire to break a cycle of abuse mentally, physically. I just could not complete another cycle of that with myself. So I had to kind of separate. That was the only way for me to get away from it. And I moved away. I lived in Tennessee for a short term, came back. And that is when I kind of reconnected with a lifelong family friend. Slept on their couch for a little while until I got my life together. And just kind of became kind of like their goddaughter. They're Italian. And so the only way to really explain me and their family, because they didn't have children, and now all of a sudden they've got this 21-year-old that's with them all the time. So like, what is the situation? They just called me their goddaughter. And about 3 years ago, when I started to go through my separation and my court situation for my son, we kind of just played with the idea. Hey, I mean, it's been like 11 years now we've been doing this goddaughter story. I've got a child now. You basically are his grandparents. You know, why don't you just adopt me? And it was just casually one night over drinks and dinner. We laughed it off. We didn't say anything else about it. It was just kind of a blanket statement. And I guess my mom now, you know, my mom now held on to that, and she just started researching, and she was like, I mean, yeah, why wouldn't we do that? You are our daughter. You know, I have their longitude and latitude coordinates to their home tattooed on my rib cage, you know, like they're my parents. They are the catalyst for everything that I am and was able to go through over the last 11 years. It all trickles down back to them. And they really are the parents that I think I was meant to have in this life. And so they had me over one day, gave me a little card, and all of a sudden I'm opening it and there's a candle and I'm reading it. And it's literally like, will you let us adopt you, kind of thing, in this card. And we just like kind of looked at each other and cried and
oh my gosh,
like this whole moment, like, what? And that, it's kind of a hard feeling to really put into words, but to be someone who went through, experienced, witnessed the things that I did for the large portion of, you know, the beginning of my life, to be in this position where I walked away from something that was really difficult, because I wanted to be a part of a family, but I had to cut ties with behaviors and people that I just couldn't align with if I wanted to be something and better myself. And yeah, I kind of walked this journey a little while by myself, but in reality, my parents, Kathy and Claudio, have kind of been there this whole time. And it's just funny how full circle life is. And so last August, they legally adopted me. We had a little court session, you know, via COVID Zoom. The judge asked me if I was being forced into this because it's obviously a strange thing.
As an adult, I can only imagine. The judge probably just said, oh my gosh, this is probably the first time that judge had to go through this stuff.
So she's like, are you being forced or held against your will? And we just kind of laughed it off, said no. And like 15 minutes later, we've got a docked or a clocked order and a judge saying, I am now legally Brittany Madaloni. So it was just crazy, crazy, amazing. I was legally adopted last year at 32.
Wow. That's a fascinating story. I have never heard of a story like that. And I can picture the card that they gave you, asking you if you would, you know, allow them to adopt you. You know, you see that, you know, TikTok, you see that on TikTok or Instagram or whatever, or Facebook or some the news, you know, where, you know, you see a kid getting this card, but never imagined, you know, as an adult, right? Totally. I mean, God bless your adoptive parents.
Yeah.
Many blessings to them. I had the opportunity to meet them actually in April. So fascinating, fascinating.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
Third Eye Bio LLC marries expertise from across several fields to create a novel platform that assists startup, small, and mid-cap companies attempting to break into the fast-paced biotech sector. With over 30 years in the biotech and life science industries, they have the experience, knowledge, and relationships to help architect and guide your company's goals and initiatives. They have developed a comprehensive approach, each being led and managed by seasoned industry professionals, covering all the necessary elements needed for new company success and market breakthrough. We're with you wherever Alexa and Google are, at home, in the car, on your smart TV, and your connected devices. Hey, Alexa.
Hey, Google. Play my favorite Voice America podcast on TuneIn.
It's just that easy. But make sure you actually mention the name of the podcast show to make it work. You are listening to Women, Life, and Science. Have questions for Cecilia or her guests? Join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Now back to the show with Cecilia.
So switching gears a little bit, let's switch a little bit, because how many years now with the military?
10 years.
Ten years.
Well, we are in October. 10 years.
Okay. But you actually pivoted a little bit. Because you turned around and you competed in a pageant and was a runner up. How did that came about? Because again, that's another story that I have never heard.
One extreme to the other is pretty much like my life motto, right? Seems so far. I just go from one extreme to the other. But in this new life that I have and had built and worked through, and grown into, I was finally coming into the life and person that I knew I was meant to be. And so everything was going great in my life. And I was just kind of yearning for deeper connection and meaningful relationships with people. So obviously I'm always looking for new ways to do that. And pageantry is, I'm telling you, far more than a pretty gown and hair and makeup. It truly is at its core an opportunity to share your passion, your purpose within your community, and to bring awareness to causes that are near and dear to you. So just as I was coming out of, that family court battle, settling into my life as a single parent and really truly discovering my purpose, the seeds that I had been planting in the veteran community over the last few years were also really starting to produce harvest. And I was ready to take my community involvement and my story to the next level. So I don't even remember where the thought of that answer, pageantry came from, but I kind of just started researching pageants that single parents could compete in. And I came across the America Strong organization, found South Carolina's local directors on social media, and the rest is history.
Well, there has to have been a process, obviously. I mean, so it took guts to actually research it. You know, the last episode of our show, we were talking about when the opportunity is there, you sort of just take it. And sometimes you take it because you wanted to learn something or you wanted to to better yourself, or for whatever reason, for some reason you decide to take that leap of faith, right? Mm-hmm. So this must be one of them.
Yes.
And there's a process for this, because you don't just like call them up and just say, hi, I want to be in the pageant. Can you sign me up? I mean, you do have to sign up, but they had to probably describe to me what that whole process, I've always been curious. You know, did they have to interview you? Did you have to go show up?
I reached out to them. There is an application process. So on their website, you know, there's some rules, regulations, policies, criteria you have to meet. And at that time, you didn't compete at a city level. You just competed at a state level. So you requested your top three cities that you wanted to represent. They gave you one of those. And that's who you were through that moment till you competed at the state level. So I obviously wanted Greenville and had got it. So I became Miss Greenville for America Strong. And within that, I just submitted an application, paid a little fee, waited to see if they accepted my application to compete. They did. And, you know, from that moment, as soon as I got that acceptance, I was straightforward, you know, boots to ball gowns. And that kind of just trickled into kind of everything that my life is now. But yeah, it was just a paper application. It's different. This organization is different than some other ones that are a little more mainstream, like Miss USA and Miss America that you see online. Those all do have like a city competition. Mine, I picked a city I wanted to represent and just competed at the state level. But yeah, I had to go on stage in a swimsuit, in an evening gown, and do an onstage question, and got first runner up to an incredible young woman who is a juvenile defense attorney, with her own nonprofit organization. So it's, I mean, if I'm going to lose, you know,
you're going to lose to somebody like that. Yeah, totally.
It was incredible, but yeah.
Totally. Well, obviously a lot of this has to relate to some of your own personal pursuit in health, mental health all the way through. Right. Yeah. And which means that obviously the pageant going through from boots to ball gowns, let's just use that phrase because I just love it. that process and that experience must have, I mean, changed you in some way.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So I really didn't expect so much change to come out of it for me. I mean, I expected sort of like the physical change because obviously I had to be in a swimsuit. So I needed to, you know, be a little more conscious about my physical health. But competing in this pageant was healthy for me mentally, emotionally, and physically. You know, mentally, as a child, I was kind of forced into pageants. So it was never something that I really wanted to do. And quite honestly, had really bad childhood memories of pageants. So being an adult and getting to choose to compete, what I wore, how I presented myself was very cathartic and therapeutic. I kind of rewrote a story for myself. And emotionally, it healed a lot of wounds by giving me opportunities to share my story of breaking cycles of abuse, being a female in uniform, working as a single mom, you know, an opportunity to provide hope for other women who were in similar experiences. So it was healthy for me in ways that I never anticipated.
Yeah, I can imagine. And there must have been somewhere in there internally, like your own, what we call our inner goddess, right? That talks to us and tell us, okay, you can do better. Mm-hmm. And I want you to do better. And let's go find a way to be better. Right.
Yes.
And so I'm sure that was the sort of like the internal talk that was happening at the time.
Yeah. Because initially, like I said, it didn't automatically come to me that what I was looking for to grow next in was pageants. It just happened. And initially I was like, don't know if I can do that. How am I going to fit this into my schedule? How am I going to afford to do this? How am I going to make this work? And sort of initially I did have that little side of me, you know, the devil side telling me you can't do it. You don't have time, all these things. But I, again, had worked through so much where the angel side is so much stronger now and just kind of came in and said, you know what, make it work. You will figure it out. It will benefit you so much more than you know. Just take one step every day. And so that's what I did. One small step towards that goal every single day in some capacity. And yeah, I mean, my inner goddess definitely powered me on.
Well, and that's one of the things, you know, my friend Julie and I have talked about really is we're the first barrier really that we need to kind of get out of our own way to stop us from stopping us from moving forward. Or just taking that step one. But oftentimes we also, you know, need that sort of like the third party to sort of, okay, let's break this out for you for just a little bit. And so you can take your next step so you can be better or go to the next level of where you want to be.
So and that really was why I wanted to do something, was to just find that next thing for my life.
Yeah. Yeah, but you did it all. You didn't go seek out a coach or anything like that. You discovered it yourself.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, hard for a lot of people. But you have I'd say you had the strength and the tenacity to actually, you know, you're a strong woman, my friend. I mean that's a lot to find out for yourself. So then you started Boots to Ball Gowns, which was also, I mean, I love the phrase. It really is you. It resonates you. It's all you. And it's an interesting pivot because you kind of got into being a consultant, a beauty consultant, I guess is the word. And then it kind of turned into a little bit more than just that. So tell us a little bit about this Boots to Ball Gowns, how you came about, you know, starting it, and then the reason behind it.
Yeah. So in science, you know, there is this kind of connecting dots theory, which, you know, are the connection points of intelligence, I believe wisdom, desire, and ability that we all have innate in ourselves. And Boots to Ball Gowns, in essence, is me kind of connecting all the dots in my life. It has become more than I think I initially anticipated it to become. But it is a mission. It is a safe space and community for like-minded women from all over the U.S. now. My goal was to just kind of serve as a representative for the under-applauded women of America, you know, single mamas doing double duty, the silent healers breaking generational cycles, our female veterans, you know, faced with stereotypes rooted in misogyny. My desire to advocate for those women is what became my passion. And I just kind of came up with a creative way to call it. Boots to Ball Gowns.
Boots to Ball Gowns. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's not just on the cosmetic side or the beauty side, but there's a lot of following. I mean, people have been sharing a lot of their stories with you.
Yes, it is. I think because I've done so much healing on myself, like I really have put in the years of work to heal myself from all the things I've experienced in my childhood. And I really do pride myself in my ability to create safe spaces. And I think what I've been able to do is create a safe space community where I am as vulnerable as I hope the people who are listening can be one day. And I feel like through my vulnerability and my willingness to share the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, it makes other people see, you know, there is someone else who has gone through something similar, or, you know, have found themselves in situations that they now have somebody connected to that's come out of that situation.
Yeah. Community.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. I have definitely had a lot of people just for the first time say things that they've experienced, speak it out loud. You know, that was a really hard thing for me to overcome in therapy, was just really saying certain things out loud that had happened to me, because it makes it real, you know, when you tell someone else or where you put it into words. And people have been so vulnerable in my community that it is spreading like wildfire. And one person's willingness to be vulnerable and share ignites a fire in someone else to be vulnerable and share. And I think that's how we can heal people.
Yeah, absolutely. Vulnerability is key to that. And being able to have another person that says, okay, I do understand, like mm-hmm. truly understand what yeah. you're going through. Not that you're going to be able to solve the problems for them, or not that you're going to be able to, like, you know, support them in financially or anything mm-hmm. like that, but you're there to listen and to just have your shoulder, mm-hmm. just for them to lean on is, important, especially in, you know, building a community and empowering other women. So where do you want to take Boots to Ball Gowns? I mean, what's your future vision for it and for yourself?
Yeah, it's ever-changing, ever-evolving. But right now, with what we've accomplished now, I think in a perfect world, the next thing would be for me to be able to use the platform and my story to continue inspiring women on a larger scale. I'd love to offer more community to single moms, just like that camaraderie, mm-hmm. whether that be like a meetup group or something where we meet physically in person and grow that community with our children. But I'd love to create a female veteran scholarship. Also really love to continue partnering with other local veteran organizations and advocating for women in uniform.
So let's talk a little bit about that scholarship, because I'm curious now.
Yeah.
What do you see that supporting? What kind of scholarship? How do you see that working?
So initially, you know, because I did this and my background is HR, I would love for there to be some similarity in the recipient along the lines of my story. So whether that be a single parent who's also a veteran, or a veteran who is focused in the HR area of business, but something somehow to contribute to a female veteran who is continuing either higher education or even, you know, first generation attendant to college. So there's a lot of different areas that it could go, but I would like it to be in some similarity of the things that I've experienced in life, whether that be, again, first person in your family to go or attend college, a female veteran, single mom, or just any female veteran.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. So offline, we'll have to talk a little bit about that.
Yes.
I'm interested even more so. And actually, probably even introduce you to another female veteran who's actually going to be on the show in about 3 weeks. So let's talk offline and we'll talk some more, a little bit about it. So, you know, obviously, so that's the future vision for mm-hmm. Boots to Ball Gowns. For yourself, anything for yourself?
You know, my beauty consulting business is going really, really great. So ideally for me, in a perfect world, I would love to be able to focus more time on that. And I would really love to find myself in a more veteran focused organization full time. So I really do feel like my heart, my soul, my purpose lies within the veteran community. And whether that's from independent consulting with a company or just a full-time role with a company who highlights and, you know, works with the veteran community, I see myself clocking in and out every day with some organization that is veteran focused.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try and see, and we'll make it happen. We'll set it here. We're going to make it happen. Self-esteem and confidence obviously is very important, especially for women. And I think that the community that you're building with Boots to Ball Gowns, or even something after that, is gonna stick. My gut tells me it's going to stick. And I know that before the show, I know I sent you something, like, you know, talked about the topics and questions that we're going to talk about today, but I'm going to mention it again, because you know, it's as women, right, the community is very important for us. We're not designed to be loners. We need other women, and it's through time, even historically, right? Women do get together, they cook together, they knit together, they gather together in a lot of different ways. And there's something to be said for that. I also mentioned in some of the topics that I sent you that there is a study of Japanese women living longer and being healthier and happier because they have a community that they belong to. And they're all women. So it's crucial for us to have that community.
Yes. In my opinion, you know, self-confidence really helps us get ready for life experiences. When we are more confident in ourselves, in our abilities, we are more likely to pursue opportunities and relationship with people instead of shying away from them or turning away and thinking that we can't achieve this goal, you know. And on the opposite end of that, you know, with self-confidence, let's just say something doesn't really turn out the way that you anticipated it or envisioned it. Well, a self-confident person, instead of letting that defeat them, or confident in our purpose and ourselves, we don't get defeated by a no. You know, we adapt, we adjust, we continue on. So for me, self-confidence is not necessarily something that everyone is born with. It is definitely something that is self-taught and spoken into existence, no after no, mistake after mistake. It is something that is learned. It is a learned behavior. And I think that's a big misconception, is that people are just, so certain people are just born with confidence. And I feel like I'm living proof that that's not true. You know, I definitely
agree. I am one of those. I am a living proof that I am not born with a self-confidence. Mm-hmm. It's a learned thing. And I think, I would say that I definitely had great models or mentors that helped me along the way to gain that confidence and self-esteem. Mm-hmm. But primarily confidence to know that, hey, you know, just because this one thing didn't work out doesn't mean that everything that you're going to be engaged in or involved in is not going to work out. You know, it's a balance, of course, but sometimes you take the thing that didn't work out as a lesson, and you take that lesson and you turn it into a tool or a skill, because eventually you're going to pull that skill and you're going to say to yourself, oh, guess what? I can actually do this because I've already experienced something similar, right? Mm-hmm. So Cool. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's like this topic of self-esteem, self-confidence, empowering others. Mm-hmm. You know, we can just continue, just keep talking about it and have all kinds of stories to share.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Third Eye Bio LLC marries expertise from across several fields to create a novel platform that assists startup, small, and mid-cap companies attempting to break into the fast-paced biotech sector. With over 30 years in the biotech and life science industries, they have the experience, knowledge, and relationships to help architect and guide your company's goals and initiatives. They have developed a comprehensive approach, each being led and managed by seasoned industry professionals, covering all the necessary elements needed for new company success and market breakthrough.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
We're with you wherever Alexa and Google are, at home, in the car, on your smart TV, and your connected devices.
Hey, Alexa.
Hey, Google. Play my favorite Voice America podcast on TuneIn.
It's just that easy. But make sure you actually mention the name of the podcast show to make it work. You are listening to Women, Life, and Science. Have questions for Cecilia or her guests? Join us on the show at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Now back to the show with Cecilia.
So I always like to close our conversation, and unfortunately, this is where we're almost there. But I want to go through the five questions that I want you to sort of answer the first thing that comes to your mind. And I know you've had some time to think about it. Okay. First question, what's the best advice you've ever received and did you follow it?
So this one was actually harder to think about, but I narrowed it down to one, and a life lesson and piece of advice that I absolutely followed and definitely recommend everyone to consider is that the people you surround yourself with, you become. So yeah. Be conscious and be intentional with your circle.
Very nice. That's actually true. But so, you know, and sometimes we think that we should stay in that sort of circle. But if you come away with it all the time feeling like as if you're less than who you really are, then that's not the circle for you. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that. What's the worst? What's the worst advice?
Speak your mind anywhere and anytime. Oh man, I have definitely heard this very early in life, and it took a lot of personal growth to get away from this approach. It is tempting to believe that honesty is the best policy, but for me, empathy is much better. And learning to hold your tongue in certain situations can save you a whole lot of hardships.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Pick your battles, so to speak.
Yeah, that was the maturity and self-discipline that I lacked before the military.
Yeah. Well, you know, I went to a private school for girls early in my schooling years. It was actually a convent. And at one point in as a child, I thought I was going to stay in a monastic life, right? And you know, they taught me the discipline too. They taught me when the right thing to say, what, you know, and when's the right time to say it. But really overall, the lesson that I learned there was the empathy part. Yep. Because from there, everything that you say comes from the heart. Mm-hmm. And it makes a big difference when you're talking to people.
Back to the confidence thing too, because a confident person doesn't have to feel like they need to always share their opinion. Mm-hmm. If you are confident in your opinion and or your way, you know that there are other ways to achieve it versus feeling like you have to force other people to absorb your opinion.
Oh, yes. Especially in a business setting.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, there's, we can talk a little bit. Next time, we're going to talk a little bit about that, because that's a whole other hour where you're in a meeting and all of a sudden you're like, in every group, there is one where there's opinions after opinions after opinions, and, mm-hmm. and you're sitting there and I barely said a word, you know, it's just, yeah. and I, that's my personality also. It's literally, I like to observe. I will observe mm-hmm. first. And not say anything, but just because I'm not saying anything doesn't mean that one, I don't have the confidence to say something, but two, you know, that I'm not that smart. I mean, basically, you know, I'm observing because there is something in there that I'm trying to decipher and figuring out exactly what the best strategy is for that particular moment.
Silence is your strength.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So as far as, you know, for us women, what would you like to see change altogether for us in the future?
Women's roles really have changed, obviously, at a very accelerating rate in areas all across the board, politics, corporates, medicine, law, you name it, which is phenomenal. But at the end of the day, women are still each other's biggest critics, I feel.
Oh, yes. We're so bad. We're so bad.
Oftentimes, it is not a man who is the first or the quickest to cut down or diminish a woman's work, but another woman. So my hope is to see less competitiveness and more collaboration. One woman has power, but collectively we have impact. So that would be my hope.
I love that phrase. You need to write that. You need to have that as a poster.
Yes, it is actually printed. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. It is printed on my screen right behind my computer.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to have to remember that. All right. So the next question, if you can spend an entire day with any famous woman, who would it be? And what's the first question you'll ask her?
So you may know her, Beatrice Schilling.
Yes.
You're familiar with the aeronautical engineer, I'm sure, with your husband's background. I'm sure you've seen her floating around in your life. She was an aeronautical engineer from the 1900s. And like me, a bit of a daredevil, a motorcyclist. But again, an engineer who saved fighter pilots' lives. And I guess I would ask her where her gumption and determination came from. Because when I thought back to the 1900s, women were essentially raised in that era to be expected to stay at home and to raise a family. Or, you know, if they worked, it usually was in some form of domestic service, like a nurse or an administrative assistant with, you know, administrative clerical duties. Mm-hmm. But she was one to break the mold. And I'd be very intrigued to know where that spark came from. I'm very interested in the behind the scenes life environment circumstances of people that form and mold them to make decisions that they do in their life. So I'd be very interested to know how a woman from the 1900s, instead of being a stay-at-home mom, turned into a fighter pilot lifesaver.
I know. You know, this is absolutely fascinating because the show before, she chose Marie Curie.
Okay.
As the woman, and the quote was very long, but basically there's another woman who literally, I mean, she's somebody who, you know, broke the mold, mm-hmm. a scientist that worked with radioactive things, right? and had children, and their children also became Nobel Prize winners. So fascinating, fascinating women all the way around, especially with Beatrice. If you read more of her story, she was actually a quiet one when she was a child.
Okay.
And she observed a lot. Mm-hmm. So, and then somehow something happened as a child. I mean, she was always curious, of course, but, but something sparked, her, when the Wright brothers sort of had the start of the airplane, and she started reading up on it. Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah. Now I'm going to go look her up again. And
now I am too. I'm going to do a little more research on her.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So favorite junk food?
Oh, hands down, Arby's extra large curly fry with red ranch. Oh man, you can't beat a hot, even though you're probably going to wait 15 minutes in their drive through because it's not the fastest, but I will wait 20 minutes in the parking lot for a piping hot, fresh, extra large curly fry from Arby's.
Oh, those curly fries are so good. I love Arby's. I love their, no, I'm getting hungry. I love their like mini
sandwiches.
Sandwiches. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Your son loves it. There you go. It's a good thing.
I have an excuse to get an extra large curly fry because he needs
it. There you go. Well, Brittany, sadly we have to end our show. But like I mentioned earlier, we can keep going. Mm-hmm. For our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about Brittany and Boots to Ball Gowns, you can find her on Facebook, Instagram. Just type in Boots to Ball Gowns and you'll see her all over there. Feel free to reach out. Her contact information is on the website.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brittany. I love it. We'll check in on you in a few months to see where you are. 2023, I have a feeling is going to be very different for you.
I think so.
Anyway, thank you everyone for listening to Women, Life, and Science. Tune in next week. Our guest is Akasha Searcy, and she's local also to the Greenville area. She'll teach us all about how to be present and in humanness, which is kind of an interesting topic. Anyway, see you all next week. In the meantime, stay fabulous and true, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Women, Life, and Science. We hope Cecilia and her guests enlightened you as you walk your own path.